The following episode of FOFOP is classified MA. It contains some coarse language, some nudity, drug references, a sex scene, time travel, terrible Batman impersonations, a Charlie Clausen pronounced Clausen-shaped hole, and mild coarse language. FOFOP advises that the program is not suitable for persons under the age of 15, and minors must be accompanied by an adult guardian or priest. This is John Deek speaking.
There hasn't been any great advances in prison rape or space travel.
The Father, the Bun, and the Holy Toast.
That's me cracking a drink.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to FOFOP. I'm Will Anderson, the person you heard first on this brand new podcast, because we're making this episode one, Dave. We're going to try this one more time.
Dave Anthony. Take four.
Yeah, this is take four of episode one. Look, people, this is hopefully the first one that you're listening to. Put it this way. There is a lot of poorly recorded bonus episodes to come. There's a lot of episodes where you'll hear one person talk to one distant person.
Do you think there are people out there, though, that want to hear a guy talking and then someone mumbling quietly?
Well, I hope there is, because I have got a product for that. Dave and I recorded the other day, and as you will hear when you actually hear that podcast, Dave taught me how to actually put all the equipment together.
Yeah.
You told me how to turn it on, which I've not been able to do myself.
Uh-huh.
And then we recorded three podcasts in a row.
And then I showed you how not to sit in a room and record.
That was great.
A podcast.
Because here's what we didn't do in any of that time. Despite the fact that you had come into my hotel room and had to show me how to turn the microphones on, we never thought, hey, you know what we should do? Listen back to any of that and check if we're both on the microphone.
Do you? I just realized what happened. Like, the first one was okay because I was sitting in this chair.
Yeah.
But then the other two, I got in this beanbag.
There's
and
a beanbag.
I was too low.
Yeah.
And so the mic...
You got below the, microphone line.
That's just genius.
Yeah. It was like the microphone edited you out of the podcast. And it's like, you were too comfortable sitting in that beanbag. You cannot be in it anymore.
I'm an old podcasting pro.
Right. So anyway, so this is good that you're on the first episode anyway. I'm happy that you're here, Dave Anthony, because
thank
I
you.
Saw you record your comedy album
yes.
the other night. How does that feel post-comedy album
it's
record?
It's very weird.
Because that's your first album, right?
That's my first album. Yeah. So, you know, 20-some-odd years in with a couple, some years off here and there. Yeah.
This is your best 45.
This is my best 45.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the weird thing is that I've had so much material that I've thrown away over the years. I mean, I probably have hours of material, but nothing that I would want to do.
Yeah.
Because I was doing stand-up so slowly that I would outgrow material really fast.
Right.
And so it just was never, like, coming together.
Right.
So I finally
So essentially,
down.
You were buying, you know, fashions that went out of fashion before you wore them in.
Basically, right. Yeah.
You were, I'm a bit like that with iPhones.
I
feel like I update my iPhone much more often than I ever work out how to use my iPhone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, my iPhone does... Like, I will go through a lot of generations before I ever have a crack at Siri.
And then... Oh, yeah,
like, there's going to have to be a bit where Siri enforces herself on you.
Yeah, but I don't understand Siri.
Right.
I don't understand.
But there are so many things about my phone I don't understand.
Yeah. No, and I find out stuff in weird ways. I have a different phone. I have a Windows phone. And, like, I was driving my car and my phone was like, you have a text from Will. Would you like to answer? And I was like, what? What's happening? What are we doing?
When did this happen?
What?
Did singularity happen? Have the robots taken over?
And then it said, reply or ignore. I was like, reply. Oh. And then I sent a message and it said, do you want to send? I was like, yeah, send.
And you said it and it wrote it down.
And then the message went off.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
My God, your robot butler sent me a message. I could not be more excited about this.
It was pretty, like, I wanted to pull over the car and have a little party. Like, it was an amazing experience.
It is an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I need, though. And that's why I fear that the robots will rise and take us.
They will.
All over. Because I fear that mostly because we will let them.
Oh,
out of convenience.
apparently some scientists, and all I saw was the headline. I didn't read the article.
Yeah, well, that's why we're going under.
Downloaded.
Because that's what we're like as people. We only read the headlines, and we do not read the articles. This, you have summed up
so the robots,
why we lose the war against the robots.
The robots know what's going on, and we don't, because we're not reading the articles. So they downloaded genetic code.
What do you mean?
They downloaded genetic... They took genetic code from a biological thing, either an animal or a person.
Yeah.
And they downloaded it.
Who did?
Some scientists.
Oh, okay. Right.
Science-y people.
Just for a minute, I thought robots did. I was like... Like, why has this
check
not been
out
in the paper?
Check it out.
If robots are downloading our DNA.
Robots downloaded Bob Newhart.
Right.
Yeah, so now he's in a computer.
He's, literally.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah. Be great if when the robots do take over, it turns out that for whatever reason, that they based all the personalities of their robots on famous stand-up comedians.
Oh, fuck, that would be amazing. I mean, it's a lot of times annoying.
Right.
But often amazing.
Right.
Would they can't?
What
they can't be because that they are human, like not humans, are comedians,
not humans, comedians. That's a great Freudian slip this early on. not humans.
The non-human
yeah.
between robots and humans race, which is comedians. Mm-hmm. Are they? Do you think we're smarter than people, or do you think we're just... Like, do you think, as a whole, would you think that comedians are smarter than a general population? Or do you think they're just more terrified and fucked up?
Both?
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I mean, without wanting to get overly sentimental about it, like, I mean, I do think that there is that... Like, comedy fills a role in modern-day society that philosophy used to fill.
Yes.
Right? You know, the most you ever... Like, if you listen to podcasts and stuff like that, a lot of the time, it's like comedians sitting around talking about life and, you know, their philosophies of life and all that sort of thing. And that role as a public commentator seems to have been filled by comedians. So I think that the sort of people who are drawn to comedy would be...
Yeah, okay.
At least intelligent in some ways.
Yeah.
And then very completely unintelligent in other ways.
Yeah.
Like, we rely pretty much on Adam Carolla to do man stuff.
Yeah, and like, that's not
certainly
great.
Certainly, for a guy like me, when my robot comes, I'd want a Carolla robot, I'd want a Tim Allen robot. Like, I'd want something that could get some manly shit done, because that would be the thing
you want like
do.
You want, like, a heavy-lifting...
Yeah.
Robot that's equipped to do some household work.
I want a blue-collar comedy robot.
Okay.
Right?
But I would go with Ron White.
Right. I want a cigar-smoking...
He's the funny one.
Right.
And he tells really good stories.
Right.
And he's a little more interesting.
Yeah. He'd be my...
He likes to drink, though.
Robot of choice.
Well, you said when my robot comes, so now I have a robot coming.
Well, this is the thing. Like, well, because they'd all have all the personalities of the comedians, but obviously you'd have to pay more for various... Like, I mean, if you wanted a Seinfeld bot or a...
You'd have to pay more for a more
right.
experienced, more famous robot. Like,
whereas you could probably get a Michael Richards bot quite cheap.
Well, now, yeah.
Now. And, like, the value of those things.
It says horrible things now.
Well, since the malfunction... They have had to sell the Michael Richards.
You know, they never shut that line down. Right. They just kept putting it out, which you would have thought they would have shut it down.
Right, but it found a new market.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, what we're selling is, we were going to shut the Michael Richards robot down, but we've looked at the sales figures.
Yeah.
Here's what we've discovered. It's still selling. It's just selling to different people.
We're shipping to different parts of the country now.
And it's parts that we've never been able to get a robot to before. So we feel like...
It's like a new market.
Yeah. So, you know, if you had a big budget, you could get a Seinfeld bot or a Chris Rock bot or a Sarah Silverman bot or something. But, you know, if you had a more limited budget, you could...
But you can also... There's also great comedians that aren't as well known.
Right.
That would be pretty, like a Jake Johansson robot would be great.
Exactly.
And he's not going to cost you as much.
Right, that's right.
And maybe less annoying.
You know what he'd be like? He'd be like one of those people who's always telling you about, you know, that their brand is not only cheaper than the others, but is also superior to the ones that you've been suckered in. Yeah. There'd always be some guy at a party go, look, I know you can talk about your Chris Rock bot all the time, but I've got a Jake Johansson bot at home. It cost me a third of the price and it does twice the job. So I got to be honest.
You have no idea what you're missing.
You got to get yourself one.
Plus, everybody knows.
You've
got to
get rid of your Margaret Cho bot, and you've got
to... Everyone knows the Chris Rock robot, so when you go over there, they expect it to be at a Chris Rock level. But when a Jake Johansson robot walks in, you go, what? Right. Holy shit. This is amazing. Cost how much?
I got the Doug Benson bot / bomb.
That one laser.
Yeah, it's like a transformer, and it turns into a bomb. 420 every day. It's amazing. It'll interrupt movies by itself. Speaking of famous comedians, this one I want to speak to you about is Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
Would obviously be a popular robot, I imagine.
Yeah.
Very popular
robot,
I think. I would think so.
Yeah.
Like, because he's already in with that crowd, too.
He is.
Like, the community that are going to be first adopters of robots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're Patton Oswalt fans.
Yeah, exactly. Although some of his audience, I imagine, will be building their own robots.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just a bit more cool.
But they're also going to download something into that robot.
So that's right.
And since in this world of the future, you can only download comedians into your robot.
Yeah.
You might choose Patton Oswalt.
It'll be a Patton. So I'm backstage at your CD album.
I was going to record
it.
Film it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't. Because I would have just been an extra thing that I would have been dealing with or focused on, and I felt like I just had more freedom to...
Well, the other thing is that you spent the 2 months in the run-up to this show being able to get up at gigs and do stage time and work on your act.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you'd been filming it for a DVD, you would have spent the last 2 months not eating.
Yeah, you're right. Right.
And just worrying that people would think you were fat on your first DVD.
Yeah. No, a guy was taking photos, and between shows, he showed me a side shot, and I was like, oh.
I know. Well, he showed you a shot of why you didn't do a DVD.
Look at how plump I am.
Yeah. No, man, you can't hear that in your voice. Your jokes sound tight.
So my voice doesn't sound like there's sausages in my mouth and coming out of me. Fudge.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You don't have a fat-sounding voice.
I really need to lose weight.
I think I like the Cold Media album more than the DVD.
I don't like watching DVDs.
I just think there's something about watching the DVD where you're aware you're not there. Whereas, like, listening to it, you can kind of...
Yeah, you're more involved in it. Right. You get taken into it. Yeah.
So I enjoy it more.
Now, Comedy Central puts out these hour specials.
Right.
They edit, but then they put out the unedited album.
Yeah.
And I don't know why anybody would ever watch the special. When you can go get Kumail Nanjiani's album or Kyle Kinane's album, which is going to be 1,000 times better because it's unedited. Yeah.
So I'm backstage with Patton and Jake Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come back to tell you how wonderful your show had gone because you were taping two, but you'd done the first one and you nailed it. Then suddenly you went out to talk to some other people or do whatever it was that you were doing.
Right, friends, yeah. Friends.
Yeah. So there was this moment where I was backstage in that beautiful backstage area at the Nerd Melt there. It really does look like if they were making a modern-day Reality Bites.
It does.
That would be the cool place that they would all hang out.
So there's posters all over the wall from all the shows that have happened. And
they're all cool.
And they're all
handmade artists. Like,
really great artists.
Posters and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's got history all over the world, the walls. It's really...
It really does.
It's really kind of a fun place.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I realize that I'm just watching... I'm kind of involved in a conversation between Jake Patton and myself.
Yeah.
But I'm not necessary to this conversation at all.
Right.
I've kind of just got sucked in, and I'm part of it.
Because they hadn't seen each other in a long time.
Right.
I just happened
to be with Jake.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we were all San Francisco comedians together, so it's like an old thing when you see... So they see each other, and they're like, oh my God!
Right. And the band is amazing. Like, for me, it's like watching a fantastic movie, because the dialogue between these two guys...
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm enjoying this a lot more than I've enjoyed anything I've paid $15 for at the Archive. You know, I'm having a great time. And I'm not necessary, but it would also be one of those moments where it would have been weird... to get up and leave because I was kind of still in the middle of the two of them and it was only the three of us there.
And if you had got a bit slinked out, I would be like, what the fuck is his problem?
Yeah, it would have been a bit like I'd like walked out in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
I wasn't involved. I wasn't necessary, but I felt like I had to be there.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's gone on for about 20 minutes. Finally.
If you had stood up, though, it might have made a difference, because they were standing. I know Patton was sitting, but Jake was standing next to you, right?
You know what it was? It was one of those situations where everyone was kind of on levels. That even made it better, because Jake was standing. Mm-hmm. Patton was half sitting. Like, half sitting, half leaning.
And he's often, when he's standing, it's almost like he's half sitting.
Right. Sometimes. Exactly. That's why Patton has been so successful, because he is the living embodiment of the funniest joke in stand-up, the airline seat only goes back a small amount. Because that's what Patton's like at all times.
Yes, it is.
People don't understand why they find him so funny, but his entire range of movement is that tiny space.
It really is.
So anyway, 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting down. So that's your levels. Everyone's kind of on different levels.
Yeah.
So I was even aware of the fact that to leave, because if I'd been the one standing, I could have made a graceful exit, right?
Right.
But to leave, I'm the one who's lowest in this entire conversation.
And then you know, Jake's maybe as tall as you, but you're probably a little bit taller.
Yeah.
Like, you're the tallest guy.
Right.
So when you get up, and also you're sitting underneath an angled roof, so you were going to stand up and then have to bend your head forward.
Perspective-wise, I was like in Wonka's house.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I could have walked into a TV. Someone would have shrunk me.
It was basically like you were in the middle floor from being John Malkovich.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So anyway, I didn't want to leave. Mm-hmm. What else was I going to do? Stand around awkwardly somewhere else, not being entertained by two of the funniest people on the planet, right?
Yeah.
I was enjoying it. But it got to that point where after 20 minutes of them bantering, they've suddenly looked around and gone, like, you know, like occasionally NSYNC would have looked around and gone, who's that fat guy with the beard?
Right? Who's that guy here?
Yeah, right?
That's your manager.
Yeah. It was a bit like that. They both realized that I was there.
Yeah.
And I had not said anything in 20 minutes, which was fine with me, but you could tell immediately it was just like that thing of like,
there he is.
He is. We should include him in some way.
Yeah.
Now, I want to take a little sideline on this because... I don't know how good you are with names. Are you good with names?
Terrible. Horrendous.
Right?
Walked up to a guy last night at the improv, and I said, hey. And he goes, hey. And I was like, where do I know you from? And he goes, I'm on the Long Shot podcast. We've met several times, and you invited me to your podcast festival. And I was like, good to see you again, John. Like, I am maybe the worst guy in Hollywood with names. I'm horrendous.
I'm also terrible with names.
It's not good in this business.
And I don't want to be terrible with names.
No, I don't either.
That's the weird thing about it is that, like, it's not... I'm not terrible with names because being good with names is something that I don't value.
Yeah.
Because I do value it, and I always find it really impressive when...
Let me tell you a story. I worked with Brian Regan, who is, you know, top five guy for me. And I'm an opener.
Yep.
And he comes in and we do a week together. And then I don't see him for like 5 years. And I see him and he walks up to me and he goes, hey, Dave. And I'm like, that's incredible. And then I talk to other people and he does that to everyone. Waitresses. Anybody. He remembers their name, puts out his hand and goes, hey, Jeff. It's an incredible skill. And
it's weird that
you feel he. It makes you feel better.
He should be starting a religion. That's what he should be doing. Do you know what I mean? That is, he should be president. Regan should be president because that's they say that thing and they say about Clinton.
Clinton had the same thing. Yeah. It's so. It's a big to me knowing the two extremes, which is me on one end and Brian Regan on the other. I know how it makes you feel to be on the other end of that, and it's nice. The guy remembers your name.
I'm going
to
tell a story about Clinton that has to have a lot of allegedlys.
I think a lot of stories about Clinton have to have a lot of allegedlys.
I need to point out this story was told to me by someone who, even when they were telling me the story, said that the person who told them this story, they didn't know whether that person was trustworthy or
okay.
not. Right?
Yeah,
okay.
Fair enough. These are the best stories.
Right. So I'll try not to dob this guy in by revealing who it is, but it was a Hollywood actor who's had, it's fair to say, a colourful past.
Sure.
It's a guy who was in some really, really cool movies and then lost his way a little.
Gotcha.
Wow. I mean, he found his way to drug dealers' houses mostly.
Ah, okay.
And, you know, a lot of other stuff. And it turns out that he's been making worse and worse movies to pay his bills and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But at one stage, this guy was like a big, big... Yeah. He had a moment, you know, where everyone would have known who he was.
And
right?
you don't want to say his name.
And I don't want to say his name. Because that will just... But, like, you know, there's a group of people, like, and it's in that sort of zone of, you know, it's either going to be is it going to be sort of like, is it going to be Nick Nolte?
Right.
Or is it going to be, what's the crazy guy who yells at the planes all the time?
Wait a minute, what? There's a crazy guy who yells at planes?
You know, the mad American guy who was in all those action movies in the 80s and then just went mental.
Nick Cage? Oh, Mel Gibson?
No.
Look how many there are. I can just keep saying them.
Right. He's kind of, no, he's a bit more crazy. I saw him on an episode of Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I saw him on Celebrity Rehab where he was convinced that he had been recruited by the Celebrity Rehab people to help solve the other people's drug problems.
Oh, God.
But he was just in Celebrity Rehab. Like, he was in the show, but he thought that he was undercover agent.
Well, he rode a motorcycle without a helmet.
Right.
And that's what happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he yells at planes. So it's one of those style of people, but it's not any of those people.
Okay.
It's someone who had so much trouble with drug testing that at one stage in their colourful past, they had to use an artificial penis during a drug test because they were getting urine tested.
What? So they have like a bag?
Yeah.
And there's a guy watching
right,
to make sure
because
that,
he's
so they,
see
so
the
they
dick,
have a bag.
Right.
And then they have a fake penis and they pull that out and then they pee through the bag.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually a decent use of modern technology.
Right.
Like,
I mean, you can set it to water pistol.
How do we know
that this happened?
Yeah.
Because he got caught doing it,
oh
not once, but twice.
Well, you know, after the first time, you really have to change it up. Like, you have to pull out, like, a vagina or something. Like, they know after the first time. So you really got to switch it up.
Fool me once. So, I've given away too much information, but this alleged actor. He's an actor. But this alleged.
Yes.
Whatever. Allegedly told my friend.
Yeah.
When they were working together on something, a story of when this alleged person was allegedly dating Liz Hurley. Elizabeth Hurley. Do you remember Elizabeth Hurley? Mm-hmm. Former partner of Hugh Grant.
Mm-hmm. And now...
Star of Passenger 57.
But now one of Australia's queens or something.
Right. She's our biggest wag.
Yeah. Okay.
She's she goes out with Shane Warne, who was like our greatest cricketer.
Okay.
And,
cricketer?
Yeah. Well, cricket's our big sport.
I know.
And he's like one of the greatest cricketers of all time. Probably top five players who's ever played the game.
Won the Ashes and, for you guys?
Oh, so many times. And
okay, I don't even...
The literal, probably worst human being ever.
Really?
Like...
Fantastic.
Like, he just literally was one of those guys who just went from one scandal to another.
Oh.
But with this just great sort of warning sort of attitude. And none of it has stuck to him. And then he's landed on his feet, and now he's dating
Those
Liz
guys
Hurley.
Just amaze me. But she clearly is not picking great guys.
Right, well, I think Warney's a step up from this dude.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
No plastic penis involved, at least in a professional sense.
That's right. A step up.
Yeah. So, although Warney did once fail a drug test. So, they were going to the Cricket World Cup in the Caribbean. And Warnie failed a drug test because he had a diuretic. And now sometimes diuretics are used to mask, you know, steroids and stimulants and that sort of thing. So it's a banned substance. But why did Warnie take it? Because he was looking a bit fat before the photos. And so his mum gave him a diuretic pill. So he missed the cricket World Cup because his mum gave him a diuretic pill.
That's just genius.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, great fella.
Yeah.
So anyway, Warnie is going out with Liz Hurley now. But back in the day, she was going out with this fella with the artificial penis. Mm-hmm. So this fella with the artificial penis has gone to the White House for a screening of Saving Private Ryan.
Of course
Which is a movie that he was in. Uh-huh. So this is kind of really, you know, now you're talking of the, like, this dude's
in the White House. We're talking about Matt Damon.
Right, yeah. I would just love if Matt Damon, who is so beloved, like as a, you know, as a, just everyone loves Matt Damon, right? If he, because you know, porn stars, you know what a fleshlight is, right? Have you heard of a fleshlight?
I've heard of it. I've seen one, but at another podcast.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's a male masturbation device. Yeah. And so, like, it's the equivalent of, like, a vagina or whatever. Sure. I think you can be other parts of the body, but, like, that, you know, people stick their penis in.
Right.
And right, then, if they don't have hands. I'm not really sure why you want one. But anyway, I get it. It's just a thing, right?
Yeah. Apparently, they're addicting.
Really?
Yeah, apparently guys that get them, they're like, holy shit, this is goodbye, women.
Right.
I mean,
great guys. Great guys. It's even better than a woman, man. Look, it's like a vagina in a can.
It's like a vagina in a can. For the shut-in,
right?
The world has never been greater.
Right. It's true. With the high-speed broadband and fleshlights.
And fleshlights. You're good.
The most popular ones, apparently, are the ones that are modeled on porn stars' bits. Right?
I mean, I watched an HBO video, a documentary about that and how they make them.
Yeah.
And it's just horrifying. Like, you, a fucking, of your vagina?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Right.
But who knows what happens with my career? I might be doing a dick model at some point.
Well, this is my point that I'm saying. Okay. Imagine if next Thursday night, you turn on Letterman.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon's on.
Yeah.
And he says, Dave.
To Dave Letterman, not to the TV, not to me. Okay.
You can interpret it about whatever you want. He's either speaking to Letterman or to you.
Yeah.
He says, Dave, I know a lot of you have heard of my ambitious plan to bring water to Africa, my bottle campaign that I've been doing. I've got a new one now. It's been brought to my attention that I was voted the most attractive man in the world 1 year. And I've been told that if I brought out a replica of my cock, that women right across America might want to fuck themselves with my with Matt Damon's cock.
So it's like a service.
It's a service.
Yeah.
But also, for that $30, $28 of those dollars is going to starving families in Africa.
Oh boy. My first question is, does it come with an asshole?
$80.
Oh my god, the asshole is a huge jump in price.
Matt just felt like getting the modeling done for that part was difficult. It was more painful. It just felt like it's a premium.
It's a lot more difficult to do all that work on an Innie and Seven Audi.
So you know what the other thing is? Gay men, high disposable income.
High disposable income. So charge you just, them.
Hit. Right.
And all that money, not all of it, 75 of that goes to help starving children.
Yeah, that's right. A little bit to Matt on the asshole one.
A little bit extra to Matt. That would kind of be the greatest thing that ever happened.
Right?
Yeah. It would be the
because it would sell a heap. You can't tell me.
Sell a lot.
Right, it would sell a lot, particularly for charity.
Yeah.
Right? And like, if you have an excuse.
And people.
It's Matt Damon Cock Day, right?
Yes.
And everyone can go and buy their Matt Damon cock.
Yes.
There's a ribbon.
There's a huge ribbon. I just imagine it's a huge cock.
Right.
And then people who are against that sort of thing would be like, ah. I mean, it is helping the children.
For charity.
So,
you can't mock it.
hardcore Christian what? Organization is like, this is horrible. You go, why don't you want to help the starving what? Children?
Do you hate children in Africa? Because if you don't hate them, you should grab one of grab Matt Damon's cock and fuck yourself with it.
Yeah, you don't even have to fuck yourself.
You don't have to. Just buy the cock.
The house.
Just buy the cock.
Yeah, and then give it away.
Use it as a doorstop.
Yeah,
re-gift it at Christmas.
Give it away to charity.
Right.
Teenage girls that could use that.
Right.
Right.
Right. And who do you want your teenage girl to be with? Matt Damon, right?
Well, that scumbag.
Better than some neighborhood scumbag who's going to get her pregnant.
Yep.
Or Mr. America.
Yeah. It's terrific. It's a terrific idea.
Makes him a better person.
Makes him a better person.
Probably could win the Nobel Peace Prize off the back of it.
Yep. There are absolutely no holes or problem in this idea. It's the ultimate perfect idea.
There are no holes that cannot be solved with Matt's hole.
Yeah.
$80, $75 straight to the starving children in Africa. So.
Yep.
I'm not really sure what got us onto
Man,
that.
Man, we got really off track.
That's good.
We were talking about the star who...
Okay, so there's this star. This former star. He tells a story of when they got invited to the White House for a screening of Saving Private Ryan, and Bill Clinton was president. Uh-huh. Does that add up?
I believe that'd
be
that
about
does
the
add
right...
Up.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... during the dinner, Clinton has sidled up to said actor and got in his ear and said, "Hey, I hear you're having sex with Liz Hurley."
Of course he did. I mean, what else would he do?
Right.
That's so awesome.
So,
talk about a man who knew how to use his office.
Oh, wait, it gets better.
Yeah.
So,
oh, God.
So then he says, he goes, "Well, yeah, I am. That's true." And he goes, "You should get her here." And he goes, "Well," he says, "she's off somewhere else. She's, interstate or wherever she was." He goes, "I will send a plane." So they sent a plane.
Like at that moment?
Yeah.
Not like down the...
No, he wanted her there.
It's like saying, "Hey, why isn't Jeff at the party?"
Right.
I don't know. He didn't want to leave his house. Well, let's just send a card down.
Right. Except she was in another state. And he sent Air Force Two.
Yes.
So, okay. Anyway, according to this actor who was telling this story, President Clinton flew Elizabeth Hurley to the White House and then had sex with her.
You have to. I'm sorry. If someone flies you on an aeroplane from another state, you have to fuck them. Especially if it's the president. Well, you have to fuck them.
According to the story, like literally when this actor was a bit like, "Well, I'm seeing her," apparently the answer was very much along the lines of, "I'm the president, mate."
Well, look.
Yeah.
I want to make that vagina legendary.
Yeah.
So next time you're fucking her, you can think.
Right.
This is super important vagina.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's
almost mob-like, right? I mean, it almost sounds like one of those weird mob situation where a guy's like, "I'm taking your girl."
Right. Like biker gangs.
Yeah, like biker gangs.
Right, there's always there's just that sort of understated...
Yeah.
The understanding that you can go with any guy, but then when you have an old man, you've got to...
Yeah.
That's like it's all hands off from everybody else. And he's just like, "I'm the president."
Wow. Really a great story.
Even better story if Clinton had written about it in his autobiography.
Chapter 14. Hurley.
And weirdly, he talks about not only fucking Liz Hurley, but Hurley from Lost.
But he sent it. You know what's weird is that he sent a dump truck to pick up Hurley, which is not as cool, and yet it still worked.
So, I went to an Australia Day function yesterday.
I don't believe I said Happy Australia Day.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
You guys, this is when you guys freed yourselves from the...
the original owners of LA.
Indigenous people, what'd you do?
We freed them.
You freed the indigenous people?
We freed them.
By coming to their island taking their stuff.
Do you know how hard it is to own and look after a place, David?
Yeah.
And we took that responsibility off their hands.
Yes.
I mean, we didn't inform them.
They had...
And when I say we, I mean the British.
Sure. They had really let the place just go to shit because there were, like, kangaroos everywhere and wallabies. And
right.
Just Tasmanian devils and dingo. Like, it was just a pile of shit.
Like, nobody's business.
Yeah.
Couldn't walk for a Tassie devil.
Right.
Could not walk down the street.
And
wasn't
so
streets.
That has to be cleaned up.
Right.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of those.
Yep.
And most of the native population.
Right.
So we can declare this land terra nullius.
And then just throw creepy old white people out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. That'll work. Should be fine. Great plan, England. Can't believe you lost the empire. So... I often think that with England, that, like, you know, like, they seem like the parents that, because you're their kids.
Yeah.
And we're their kids.
Yeah.
And we're different kids.
We are very different kids.
Like, the weird thing is that
we're the bully. We're the teenage bully asshole.
But the funny thing was, at the start, you were the kids they were proud of. The ones that they, you know, who went away adventurous, right?
Yeah.
You were off to see the world.
We really were.
And you were a winner. You were an achiever. Yeah. You started your own country.
That's not bad.
My God.
Yeah.
You took over the world. And then you became an asshole.
Total douchebags. Well, after that, then we joined the fraternity.
Right.
And once we were in the frat, forget about it.
Whereas we were the terrible kids. You know, we were the ones that they sent away to boarding school.
You were trouble from the beginning.
And it turns out that where we lived is just now really awesome.
Well, it was.
There was a survey the other day, David, that said that Australia is now the second best country in the world.
Well.
In the world.
It's
second best in the world, David.
I mean, your roads are melting, so I feel like if there's a backtrack, it's going to happen.
Well, this survey probably did. Entire country was on fire.
I mean, now you're like, hey, let's flood. No, let's not flood. Let's be crazy hot.
It is like one of those terrible things where, like, when you live in the one country, and I genuinely don't mean this with any disrespect, but when you live in a country where half of it is on fire and the other half is flooding, you just think, isn't there something going wrong that we should... Can we not at least combine the two so the floods put out the fucking fires? Like,
we should look into this. There's got to be a better solution than what's happening.
This doesn't feel right.
No, it doesn't feel right at all. I can't believe he fucked Liz Hurley after flying her there.
Well,
now just imagine. So you hear that story.
Yeah.
Imagine how many women he fucked.
Right.
Just based on that story. Loads.
When we went to Vegas...
For
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
The dude who was looking after our area, because we'd bought... It was Justin Limo. Did you meet Limo when you were in Australia? He's an Australian stand-up comedian. Really great fella. And Tom Gleason.
Uh-huh.
And we had this area in this nightclub where we kind of like bought a table in this VIP area, and people were looking after us and whatever. And the dude who was in charge of the VIP area came over to us and said, look, you know, this is not a professional situation, like a paid-for situation, but if you guys would like some company, I'm going to go out on the dance floor, maybe meet some girls who'd like to come and have a drink with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, all I ask is that if you enjoy their company at the end of the night, give me a tip. Right? I'm like, oh, God bless America. Oh, he also told us that if we didn't like them, to tap our nose and he would move them on.
He had a spy signal.
Right.
For getting rid of women.
Right. So, in that moment, I literally was like, you know what? If Tiger Woods only fucked 30 people in Vegas...
I mean, come on.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he must have been turning down 99 out of 100.
Yeah. Well, look, the phrase, the whole thing about what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, the idea that people go to Vegas to cut loose, in my experience, is so insanely true.
Right.
Like, it's like mind-boggling.
Yeah.
The shit that
Like, Vegas'
happening.
Slogan should just be Vegas. Please don't tell anyone what Vegas goes on. I know we joke about it, but shh.
There are women who are normally very conservative, whatever. They go there and they're like, I'm going to fuck whatever because I'm in Vegas. It's really crazy.
I know. It's like as soon as you go off the border, over the border, all bets are off.
All bets are off.
All bets are off.
Yeah.
Right. So, why was I telling you about being in... Clinton, I mean, man, like, if that's what he's into, you're president...
I mean, come on.
Come on.
Just amazing.
Like, come on.
Yeah. And still going on. Because he is one of those guys that when... women meet him, they just want to drop their pants.
Right.
Like, he's just one of those guys.
But also...
And whether president or not, he always had that thing where they're like, oh, wow.
But also, once you have, like, an opportunity to fuck a guy who might be on money one day...
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I might fuck him.
I would fuck him. For the story.
You're going to be on money? Yeah. Right? You can fuck me.
Yeah, that's...
I wonder if that's one of his lines.
Well, yeah.
Look, I might be on money.
Maybe one day I'll have my face on a mountain. How do you feel about that? I'm going to have my face on you right now.
There's something to tell your, grandkids about. Yeah.
Would you like to Mount Rushmore? If you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he would have. I mean, definitely. But he should be able to as well. If that's what keeps his eye on the job, do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I mean, I'd be rather him be flying in Liz Hurley on a plane to have sex with than, like, doing his, like, intern cigar antics.
Yeah.
That's
the intern cigar thing.
I don't like that, because that's a power imbalance. Whereas, like...
Yeah, that is a power imbalance. It's also, I don't...
Like, Liz Hurley didn't have to go. She's not even a citizen.
There's a lot of... Yeah. There's a lot of sexual stuff that I'm like, okay, that's cool, but putting a cigar in someone is really...
That's just bored.
Well, that's...
Why do you want to put a cigar in someone?
And it's like... White trash, weird.
Why?
Like, it's just like, that'll fit. Like, it's not. It's like, it's something a 3-year-old would do. Like, when they're exploring and they pick up this and they go, "This will go in here."
Yeah.
Wait, did you finish your patent story?
No.
So we left that.
We
went on so many different journeys.
We did, and we'll come back. So we're backstage, and they finally realize that I'm awkwardly there.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what I was asking you, whether you're good with names, with people. Because I will do that sort of thing where if I can't remember someone's name, but I do remember the circumstance where I last saw them, or
mm-hmm.
one tidbit about, that I remember about them,
mm-hmm.
no matter how irrelevant it is to that conversation, if I have forgotten their name,
mm-hmm.
that comes out then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You overcompensate on the one thing you do remember.
Yeah.
To kind of bluff your way through the fact that you don't remember their name.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how obscure and irrelevant to the event it is.
Yeah, what happened with the
thing? Yeah.
Still with the guy?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it just is, you go, I know who you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Oh, God. I'm starting to feel uncomfortable.
So I'm sitting there, and Jake has felt this pause and looked at Patton and then looked over at me and said, which is a very polite and lovely thing to do in that situation, "Patton, you know Will, right?" So I didn't even do you know Will or anything like that. Like, but it was just that sort of, Jake was doing the thing of going, "I'm going to cover off this situation."
Yeah.
You know, just in case,
mm-hmm.
right? In case this is a weird situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Patton, and it was only like a split second. And I need to point out, I tell this story, like, he was trying to be the nice person.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But it was just that half second where he went in way too strong on repeating my name. You know, where he was just like, "Yeah, Will. Yeah, Will.
Oh, God. Will, yes, Will. I've been sitting here for so long not looking at you."
Because it's that combination of things that are either, he said it either in that way of, "Yes, that's the name I was trying to remember."
Yes.
Or B, "I'm going to say it loudly and forcefully and repeat it as if, well, of course I always knew your name."
Yes.
"Why would I possibly say your name twice now if I didn't know it at all before?"
Yes.
"I've said it twice now. That's how much I know it. I double know it."
Yeah.
One of those makes up for a before when I hadn't mentioned your name at all in any of that time.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the best bit. He has followed up that, which I already clocked. Now, again, we've only met a couple of times.
Yeah.
I don't expect that he does know who I am.
Right.
You know, I'm not... This is not a... But it was just one of those moments where you see something you do all the time happened to you.
Yeah.
And you were like, ah, oh, this is what this feels like. Shit. No. He's done
because
that.
Because you now, and this is probably weird for you because in Australia, everyone knows who you are. So you're the guy there.
Right.
Like in high school when you're the senior and all the freshmen know who you are.
Everyone knows who you are.
You're that guy.
But you meet a lot of new people and...
Here you're not. Everyone, you know, you can be... who?
Yeah.
Forgotten or he's what the... You know, the Australian guy. The tall Australian guy.
Yeah, that'll do.
Walks around with Matt Damon's cock.
Yeah. Replica cop.
No, real cop.
Matt thought it was weird that he asked to remove it completely to make the models.
But there, and then I don't know how you got a hold of it. You found it at a pawn shop on 3rd Street.
Is that a real one? Guy didn't send any money to Africa. Says here, no money to African children from the real cock.
Nope.
So, Matt Damon's cock, on me. So, he follows up the will. I know your name, it's Will.
Yeah.
Will.
Yeah.
With this one. Oh, you told that really funny story on the podcast about Nicole Kidman. And it was just, you saw him, his brain flicked through, and the only thing that he knew and remembered about me was that moment, and it came out.
Yeah.
And bless him that he knew a moment, and...
Yeah.
But it was like one of those moments where I was like, oh, wow, I just saw all that happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And having been on the end of the other side of that so many times.
Right.
Which I have been there a million times. Here's one. So there's a house photographer at a club. He's always there taking photos. And so I've probably known him for a couple of years.
Right.
But when I associate people with a place and I see them out of that place, that's like the hardest thing for me.
Of course. Right. Context.
It just never works. So I was at another club, and he walked in, and he goes, hey, and he goes to hug me, and I go, hey, man, and I go to hug him, and I look at his face, and I go, holy shit, I go, comedian, because he's here.
That's probably what he's going to be, right? We're all comedians.
From Arizona. The guy, he looks like a guy, Arizona, and I'm like, what are you doing here? And he goes, I just came down to see the show. I go, are you going up? And then there's like an awkward pause, and I'm like...
And does he know at that moment, do you think?
At that point, he's gotta know, because he's not a comedian, and I've known him for 2 years. And he's like, yeah,
but maybe in that moment, you could have been like, well, kidding. You know, you're a, like, maybe you...
Kidding? Could have been kidding?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, you're going up.
So then it's weird, and he's like, no, and I was like, okay, you should go up. It's a really good room. And then it's weird, and he goes, do you want me to shoot your album? And I was like, yeah! And then I remembered him. And I've since seen it twice, and now when I see him, I go, you going up? You going to do a set?
Like, I try to cover it every time, because I can't. Trying to backdate the joke. I get it. I have done that before. Where you're like, if I just overcompensate enough... He will finally think that the original thing...
God, it's so bad.
I accidentally called someone the wrong name on radio once. And then did a whole bit about how... Like, invented this whole story.
But everybody knows, right? Like, everybody knows.
Everybody knows. I once got a job. I once got a job based on someone wanting to avoid an awkward situation.
Yeah.
Right. So, this person... who was a magazine editor, came to see me do my standing up comedy. Uh-huh. And after my standing up comedy show, she gave me her card and said, you know, you should give me a call sometime. And she's the editor of a magazine, right? So I assumed that she was wanting me to give her a call in relation to
the magazine
that she edits, that runs pieces by comedians. So I thought, well, obviously that was what I put together in my head. Right? It turns out that was not the reason that she had left me her card. So, anyway, I passed the number on to my manager. who called her.
This is very Clinton of you.
Now, I sent Air Force 2 to pick her up. Her and Liz Hurley, Shane Warne, and Matt Damon's cock.
Oh, God.
So.
Yeah. Oh, that's painful.
I said, I want to fuck you with Matt Damon's cock.
And she loved that. She said, I want to write a story about it.
So, I only found this out years later.
Oh.
Right?
And how did the conversation come?
Well,
do you know?
Again, I only found this out years later because she, when she was married and had children, felt like this was an opportunity where years down the track, she could share this story with me. Because I've never obviously heard any of this until she told me about it.
Yeah.
Because from my end, it was very obvious what had happened.
Yeah.
But it turns out that is not what had happened when I'd heard the other bit of the story. So my manager has rung her up. She's expected me to ring.
Yeah.
Or not ring, but like, yeah, either way. And gone, hey, you know, Will's blah, blah, blah. And she was so embarrassed by the fact that she had left me a card to say, hey, you should give me a call. And that I got my manager to ring her, that she made up a job on the spot. She made up a job on the spot, which I did for 2 years.
What?
I did this job for 2 years. It was a regular thing that I did for 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Based on the fact that she was like, hey, let's go for a drink, and I got my manager to call her.
Holy shit.
Right.
That's amazing.
Right.
That's how Hollywood show business works. People trying to hit on each other. Mistakes happening, and then suddenly Batman is being made.
Oh, man, I wish I was better at remembering names. I want to be good at it, but I just...
Well, there's supposed to be tricks, right?
Right. You're meant to repeat people's names and stuff like that, but there's just so much in that moment where you first meet someone. I feel like the name shouldn't be the first thing we go with.
You know,
right? Because at the start, when we're meeting someone,
so you should be able to go like, "Hey, weird eyes, big nose, how are you?"
Exactly. You should be able to deal with whatever it is. Like when you meet someone, you were like, "Oh my god, I probably would fuck you." Get that out of the way.
Hey, prison face, come here.
Wow, I don't like how his eyes are so close together. What's your name there, Tiger? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should be able to like process the something in the teeth and the weird hair out of the nose or the whatever it is going on.
One eyebrow, I'd like you to meet Scrunch Face.
Right.
Scrunch Face, that's one eyebrow.
Couple of moments in, we all do names.
Yeah, and after a while you do names.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, you're Scrunch Face.
Because also they're taking the moment to judge you.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Like they're also like, you know, taking that moment to go, fuck man, do you own anything that isn't black? Like... Like, you know, it's the same judgment. You know, like, so we all need a moment of judgment. Then we should go to names, so that you can then, like, and you could use those things that you've identified then to be the things that remind you with the name.
Yes,
I feel like we go too early with names.
I agree,
particularly because handshakes or hugs are normally happening at the same time as names,
and also a lot of times you're meeting a lot of people at once.
Fuck, man, you go around a circle, you forget everyone
immediately.
But the other thing is, now
when I meet people, a lot of times I go, "I'm not going to remember your name because I'm terrible with names. How are you?"
Right, but later when you can't remember their name, you can't bring that up again. Hey, remember what I said before?
Said that thing about that? I would remember your name. Guess what?
I don't remember your name.
Hey.
But you need that moment, like, because the other thing is, if I'm concentrating on a handshake or a hug, or whether I'm meant to be doing a handshake or a hug, or like, where do we kiss if we're kissing? How many times is that happening?
Yeah, it's
like, I can't concentrate on learning your name and do all those things.
It's too much. But apparently, a lot of people can.
Right?
Now, let me ask you this. I've always been very bad at this, and when I was younger, I was worse. When I was, I'm always so in my head, especially when I'm going to a stand-up thing.
Right.
I'm just in my head.
Right, of course.
I used to, when I was starting out comedy, I used to walk away from people mid-conversation because I had a thought about comedy. I would literally just walk away and they'd be like, what in the fuck just happened?
Right.
That's how, like, out of it I was.
Right.
So.
That is terribly rude.
Horribly rude. And I wouldn't realize it until, like, 10 minutes later. I'd be like, oh, I just walked away from Jeff. We were literally talking. But do you think part of this is because you're a comic and you're so in your head a lot? that you can't remember?
I do think that, I don't blame it on comedy. I think the same thing that attracts me to comedy and this deficit of my personality happen to be of the same world.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's like, ha, I'm a comedian and my head's on overdrive, so I can't. I think I'm a person who overly processes. Like, I just told you a story about what happened between Patton and I that may not in any way be what happened between Patton and I. Do you know what I mean? Like, Patton may have been... Like, Patton could tell you that story. He'd be like, no, I knew his fucking name the whole time. I just had no... Like, I was excited to see him. That's why I said his name a couple of times. Yeah. Like, from his point of view, that may be what happened.
Yeah,
might be. Like, you know, but I'm reading all this other shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I had time to. I was sitting there for 20 minutes.
That's amazing.
But I do overly process that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I get really sort of... I did a podcast the other night, and it was called The Ardent Atheists Podcast. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And a guy called Emery. Emery hosts it, and Emery Squared to your maths nerds. And he'd been bugging me to go on it a couple of times.
Are you an atheist?
Well, as I said to him on the show, I wish this was easier to say. I feel like I'm a case-by-case theist.
Okay.
Because I don't believe in God, mm-hmm. but I don't spend much of my time being obsessed about not believing in God.
Right.
Right? Yeah, I don't believe in the Easter Bunny. Yeah. I don't need to read a book about that.
Yeah.
I don't believe...
You don't need to get mad at people who do believe
right?
in it.
It's fine.
Like,
right?
people, I'm not running up to little kids and going, there's no Santa Claus, man. What are you doing?
Exactly. If it doesn't affect me,
no.
I don't worry about it. It's only when it kind of, you know, goes past that my, you know, the right to swing your fist stops at another person's face sort of right. zone.
Yeah.
So, as I said to them on the show, I said... If I was in America, I think that I probably would be a little bit more, like, atheist. Sure. Because there are so many more issues here.
It's aggressive
where it's here. Part of your daily life where you have to fight for the woman's right to have an abortion. Yes. Or you have to fight to keep intelligent design out of schools. Yes. Or you have to fight to, you know, have these sort of arguments that come down to religious things, mm-hmm. right? Whereas in my country, with the exclusion of... And I'm not saying it's not a problem at all, but... With the exclusion of gay marriage, mm-hmm. like things like abortion, you can have an abortion in Australia.
Yeah.
It's not even a debate.
You can have a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can keep doing
it. You can get one at customs.
We have a three.
Literally. Just fly in, have one. They'll do it in customs and you can go home.
We have a little room right there.
Pick up some duty free, some cigarettes and some cheap vodka and then.
I mean, that's what I do.
Right.
When I'm there.
Couple of.
I get one and I'm a guy.
Right. Yeah.
It's Australia.
Because it's cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, duty free.
Yeah.
You can get one on the plane if you want.
Also do.
Out of the catalogue.
You do the best.
Yeah, right.
Like the best abortions.
Well, it's Medicare.
So. It's great.
Right. But the point is that, like, you know, you can literally just get a safe abortion anywhere in Australia. Yes. So it's not a debate that we have to have all the time. And while there are certainly a bunch of religious schools and problems that have happened in those religious sort of you know, it's pretty easy in Australia. I mean, we have an unmarried atheist woman prime minister.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
The one, like Obama still, for whatever, like, you know, sometimes, and I know that you're conflicted when it comes to Obama as well.
Very much.
Because there's a lot of things that I want to like about him.
Yeah.
And then there's those other moments where you think, wow, what I've loved so much about you is no matter what, you know, the policies and whatever, yeah, that's another debate, but at least... You look and sound like a president.
Yeah,
you
brought some dignity
back to the office. Yeah. Like, I feel like the president should be the smartest person in the room.
Yes.
And at least you have that appearance.
Yes.
And then you can't not make a speech without talking about what I believe to be an imaginary person in the sky. And it kind of like, it's just like one of those things where you're just like, he says like a bunch of sensible things and then he's just like Santa, Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Fine for, but my point being that in this country, you literally could not get elected president at the moment if you said you're an atheist, I don't think.
Oh, no way.
Right.
No, good God, no. No chance at all.
Right. So I think they're different battlegrounds.
Yeah.
So when they asked me to go, you know, on the podcast, I was a little bit like, you know, I don't really have much to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this situation. But I have no idea why I started talking about this. Do you have any idea why I started talking about this?
You were just...
Something about going on the podcast, and then I was like...
You were going to talk about atheism.
Atheism. There was like some reason that I...
Jesus took it away.
Remember, I mean, that's the thing. Names?
You had a thought, but Jesus took the thought away to put something else in there.
Right.
save you, Jesus.
Anyway, I'm sure there was no point to that story.
I don't know, but it's a great way to end the first podcast.
Right. Just trickle out?
Yeah, well, it's sort of Tophopian in that sometimes you guys would start stories and never finish them.
Right.
So it's a continuation. And maybe you'll remember it and bring it up in another podcast.
Right. Or maybe this one didn't record either.
No, I'm looking at it. It looks good this time.
Yeah, I think it seems... I mean, it's... I don't know. I don't understand how any of this works. David, do you have some things that you would like to plug at the end of this podcast? David has his... Are you David? Are you David?
I'm Dave. Well, I'm a
like, are you born
my,
David, though?
Yeah, David is my... On my birth certificate.
What's your middle name?
Sean.
David Sean.
Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fill that in as if I didn't know.
I wasn't sure if you remembered my last name.
David, Sean, Anthony.
Do I have anything to plug? Well, my album will be coming out, hopefully.
Soon. Shame Chamber.
Shame Chamber. That'll be released on All Things Comedy, the comedy network I am a part of. And then February 7th, we'll be in San Francisco at Sketchfest doing a live podcast with Rory Scovel and Janet Varney. Is this going to go up before then?
I'm hoping it will.
Okay.
I don't know if it will, but I'm hoping it will.
And February 21st?
I'm hoping it will go up before February.
But it...
Going up in November, so...
Yeah, there was a lot of talk back then. Right. Yeah, there was a lot of talk about it.
It's had a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
You know what this show has made? A lot of buzz.
But after
mostly
a while,
in the microphones.
People aren't believing it anymore. No. They're like, this isn't real. He's playing it. It's like
this
a joke.
Is the Boy Who Cried podcast. Mm-hmm. They're like, he's saying that he has his podcast, but he is...
You told me it didn't record well. You told me at the taping of my album, right? Isn't that what you told
me?
No,
I told you after the taping.
You told me after the taping, and I kind of took it in, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And then a few hours later, I was like, wait, does that mean none of them work? And I texted you. I was like, what does that... Yeah.
Anyway, there will be bonus episodes of Dave. It may be a Dave week. We'll see what happens. Yeah, would you like a Dave week? Like Shark Week?
Yeah, Dave Week's great.
Why is Shark Week such a big thing over here? Where does that come from? People are so obsessed with Shark Week, and everyone talks about Shark Week.
It's like, I think it's more the idea of talking about Shark Week than actually enjoying Shark Week.
Right.
Because I don't know really what it is.
What Shark Week is?
It's just a show, it's just a week with shark shows.
But everyone wants to talk about Shark Week when it's on.
I know, but I've been like, okay, I think it's just people making a big deal about something. It's not that big of a deal.
I did enjoy in Australia this summer, as well as the bushfires, there was shark attacks at the beaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They thought it was one shark for a while that kept attacking.
Yeah, like a Jaws situation.
Like a Jaws, yeah. He'd come from Hawaii.
Vacationing.
After that same family.
Yep.
But it was a bit like that. But what I loved is there is this sense in Australia of, look... On the first day, they clear all the beaches. And then on the second day, they clear most of the beaches. And then on the third day, people are like, it's hot.
They let them go back.
I'm just happy to...
And they get gobbled again?
Well, yeah. And so there's literally when people just go, well, as long as I'm not closest to the shark.
That is so Australian. How many people died from... shark gobblings.
You know what? It's they did a thing in the paper where they did all the stats on your shark gobblings, and it's surprisingly low.
Yeah, no,
they get
really
a lot
low.
Of press your sharks.
Yeah,
based
well, it's,
on
it's
their
a
results.
Big event,
right?
I mean, if someone's getting eaten by a shark, it's like, well, that's interesting. So they pump it up in the media.
Yeah, but it gets a lot more press than it actually. Like, I mean, if you need people killed week to week, your shark is not your go-to animal.
No,
there are
not.
Much
that's,
more reliable
that's the
animals,
wall of it.
Right.
That's the
yeah, your wallaby will kill people. Kill a fucker as soon as look at them. Your wallaby.
Yeah. So you don't know? You don't know the total, the running tally on the deaths, the shark deaths?
No, but it was a handful.
It was a handful.
A handful.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was almost like a tick above normal. Like usually there aren't a handful.
Right. Well, you know what the thing is with the. I mean, I don't even know if there was a handful. That like. There was a lot of, like, broken surfboards and people having...
Oh, okay. Like, not actually a guy having his leg ripped off.
Right.
But a guy coming up with his board going, my board's in half.
Yeah. And that's because it's a shark.
Ah.
Right.
Wow.
That's why the beach was closed 2 days ago.
And then they go have beers and talk about it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. All right, so thank you for being part of the podcast. I have some gigs as well. If this is up, obviously I'll be at Dave's gig, but then I'm going to the Vancouver Comedy Festival. And then after that, I am in Minneapolis for a week, and then I'm in Denver for a week. So if you're in either of those places or you know people are in either of those places, obviously it'd be cool if anyone came out and saw me do standing up comedy.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it will be terrible and lonely.
Yeah.
So that would
it's
be great.
It's weird to do it for nobody.
Right?
Yeah, it's not as good.
You don't know how you're going. It's pretty hard to tell. Adelaide Fringe, Brisbane Comedy Festival, Melbourne Comedy Festival, all the dates will be on my website, willanderson.com.au. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Do you have an out?
No, not yet.